This is the 1UP Radio Network, and now GFW Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Games for Windows Radio Podcast for March 6th. As you can tell, our usual host, Jeffrey Green, is not here to join us today.
But tell us who is.
In his place, we have...
Sean Malloy.
Sean Elliott.
Aaron Gladstone.
And Ryan Scott.
And today's contents. All right, time to lose that shit.
Oh, that was good.
Today's podcast.
Brought to you by the letter
A. It's going to be light because it's just bad timing. First of all, GDC, the Game Developers Conference, starts this week. And we went and registered today on our lunch break, got our passes. And we're going to be doing that all week long. But just for the bad timing on this is that we record, even though this is the March 6th GFW Radio, we're recording it on Monday before the event. So rather than be able to come back and tell you what we thought of everything that we've seen, the panels that we've been sitting in on and whatnot, we're going to talk about the show beforehand and what it means and what it might be becoming and different things like that. We disagree on some points here. So then after that, we've got the usual Heroes of the Web segment and got some good entries for that. Then we're going to talk a little bit about rumors, put them to rest about Shadowrun and the Games for Windows Live Gold Edition and about the unprecedented situation of having to pay to play online shooters on PC platform. So we're going to get to that, and we've also got a round, what we're saving for the end, of what you've been playing. And Darren, we got to remind you, too, he already introduced himself, but Darren's back now after a two-week break. The dude's now married, he's had a honeymoon, and he's got some tales from New Zealand to share with
us. Yeah, actually, I'll make this a really quick one. It's more of a mini rant, just an observation from when I was like wrapping up my vacation. So I'm in Auckland. It's like the big city of New Zealand, kind of like New York or whatever. And I'm just kicking back, relaxing for a few minutes. I'm watching TV, and there's an ad for, you know, like those the rubber sealant around a fridge. Like, I'm actually going somewhere with this.
Wait, an ad for it?
No. There's an ad for a guy who repairs that stuff.
Okay.
And it kind of, and I'm like, wow. In America, if there was like, if like the rubber was starting to fall off that inside of the fridge, you chuck that shit out and get a new one, right?
Duct tape. Yeah.
I mean, the gut reaction of most people would be, oh crap, my fridge is gone. Time to buy a brand new one that has the ice dispenser and the water and all
but
that.
But they
crap.
Got the dude with the Taco Bell cock gun instead of and shoots out refrigerator
but
door.
But it's like a general mentality of like they will work with whatever they can get and like make it work.
Is this all that guy did? Was that his job?
That was his job. And he must have been making a pretty good living to be able to have an ad in, like, you know, Auckland to do this. Mm-hmm. But I guess what got me thinking was, why is it that, you know, these guys have their shit together, they can, like, make anything they have work well, and even, like, you know, computers. Like, they don't need to upgrade as often because they just know how to tweak the hell out of that shit. So I was thinking, maybe I need to do more of that in the magazine, maybe tips on the podcast, whatever. But more importantly, I kind of want
to get MacGyver on your shit.
Seriously, how to get properly MacGyver on your shit.
Rubber bands.
Seriously, like, you know, macaroni noodles, whatever. But, I mean, I guess ultimately, though, what I was thinking is I need to start throwing out some deadlines to, like, you know, the hardware guys out there. So, like, DX10, you got one generation to show me what the hell you can do.
All this because of dude. We'll fix the car.
That's what I'm saying. I know. Like, my mind went in this whole other weird direction.
And there's a New Zealand can-do attitude.
Is there a name for the syndrome, though? It's like you go to a country you've never been before, and it's like you walk in, you get off the plane, and you don't notice, like, all the dudes, like, the cannibals eating other people for lunch. and then you come over to the right, and they're making these great rugs. And you're like, you know, they just have a sense for artistry lost in our culture.
No, but
we need to bring that back.
Well, no, it's a big part of their culture. It's kind of like recycling and reusing and just kind of making shit work out of stuff you wouldn't expect, like taking a wok and turning it into a satellite dish or something. I don't know. But it's just...
We got that. We got... What do we have here? I've seen case mods and shit. I've seen people take like an equivalent of a real doll. That's something that people might need to Google. turn that
oh yeah, I've seen
PC
that one. Yeah,
you need to Google it.
Right, like yeah, that, you really need to find that hentai
right
figure.
There.
Well, but I mean, I guess the thing is, like, we don't see enough of that, though. Is what I'm saying.
We need more of that.
Real dolls.
We need more real dolls.
No, but I guess what I'm saying
actually was in when we were Computer Gaming World. That was in we featured that. Yeah, in one of the sections called Public Access.
That's right. There were the toilet bowl PC and stuff like
that. Yeah,
but I think
that splash over on.
But I think more to the point is like, do we really need a hardware solution for everything? Is what I'm saying. Like, do we really need a physics card?
Depends on your definition of need.
Exactly. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, I guess...
Do you really need these computer games we play, Darren?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
If this is the opportunity to do it, this is something that I've been wanting to rant about quickly. Mm-hmm. And Darren, you're helping me. We figured out I got an NVIDIA 8800 GTX card.
Oh, yeah, and you can't fit it in your machine, probably.
You can't fit it in the machine. The deal is, Jeff went through the same thing. We had, you know, the stupid jokes about, oh, it's so big. Oh, damn.
Bah, bah, bah.
But the thing was, it amazed me is because this case is enormous.
Yeah.
It's like what I said is like Andre the Giant's shoebox or something, and I can't fit a video card in it, you know?
It's really weird because the structure of some of the cases, like the one you have that you're using, mm-hmm. it's like the whole back end of it, you figure, okay, you can fit anything in that sucker.
But it's got the grid for the
right
hard drives and stuff. So the thing that just bugs me is like, I mean, at what point... I mean, with the case manufacturers, the motherboard manufacturers, and the card manufacturers, just at least meet and say, hey, let's project, you know, up until 2010, we're going to agree to fit things within these dimensions on the upper end or something. Because it's mm-hmm. like we celebrate the modularity of PC. Oh, you don't have to go and buy a new PC. All you got to do is get yourself another video card. Get yourself some RAM. It's like, no, this shit fits. It's compatible.
You're absolutely right.
Get a new card. No, I need a new case for it. Well, I need a new motherboard for that. Oh, no. I need, you know, it turns out you need everything else just like completely redone. Just mm-hmm. because they added a 16th of an inch too much to the card without looking and seeing that there's like one out of like the billion varieties of box models on the shelves that will accommodate their...
Right, you know, there are some standards. I mean, there are accepted standards, but it just blows my mind that you make a graphics card that's so like hunk and big that it's not going to even fit most tower cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I just needed to rant.
No, that's totally
right. Pissed me off.
And
I got excited.
And that
ain't right.
Like, what if you? Yeah, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, imagine like the joy you just dropped 600 bones on this graphics card, and you're like, oh crap, it's going to do everything, and then you try to plug it in, and you're like, thank you.
You go to your 316.
And then it's like, what do you do? Am I going to get another case? And then am I going to get another motherboard? Am I just going to take the card back and then scale down to the GSX?
Right.
Which is what we're doing.
The GTS, yeah.
The GTS, yeah. What am I, you know, I'm just making up names, acronyms.
Like, go for it.
The QBT.
Yeah.
The SBD, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so GDC is coming up. And I'll let a one-up member raise the discussion here. I'm going to read directly. It was... poster Liberty Cabbage, no mocking voice for the reading of this, because straight up, I think this guy is like, this dude's on point. He's on some next level shit. Okay, no, but I think
elevate.
I agree with what Liberty Cabbage has to say, and that is as follows. I think on the whole, there's too much coverage of these events. Seems like every other week, there's some kind of game related press junket, TGS, X06, GDC, E3, CES, and so on. And I can understand why some of the developers may have given the press a cold shoulder at this one in the past. I bet they need a convention where they can spend their time talking shop, learning new technologies, and not organizing interviews in big production booths and announcing products. And since E3 is gone, it looks like a lot of people are expecting GDC to fill its gap. I get the feeling that E3 collapsed primarily because it became too big with the public for its own good and probably a waste of time for some companies. Why show off something half-finished and get some bad press that kills public interest in your product? Also, anybody and their dog could get into E3, so the companies probably had to waste time and money talking to people who had no real purpose being there. So the point about where I do agree with Liberty Cabbage, and I was I agree with them in that it's a concern. I was wondering, in the weeks leading up to this year's GDC, I've seen far more activity in every sector. I mean, not just mm-hmm. my email inbox mm-hmm. and people requesting appointments to show me things. Where in the past, GDC is a matter of you get the schedule, you look at the panels and discussions, and you select which you'd like to attend. And now you're getting all these, you know, please come and show us, and you know, a lot of press releases with far too many exclamation, you know, points in them. And then online as well, you're seeing far more threads and activity and discussions. You know, what are the big predictions? Who's announcing what? And, I mean, Darren, you've been going to GDC a lot longer than I have, so you can tell me, I mean, how long it's been the case that big announcements have been made there and that big revelations have occurred there. But of all the years that I've been going, you know, not so much. Cabbage is right when he's saying that this is an event for developers, you know.
It absolutely is. You know what, actually, there have been a couple surprises in the past. I mean, like, even like, it's kind of like the stuff that you don't really expect. They first showed off the Unreal 3 engine there years ago.
That's true.
Will Wright first announced Spore there.
Right.
A total surprise announcement. I think, to be honest with you, it is about the developers, the GDC, and I think that's what's so cool about it. And the guys who run GDC want to keep it that way. They've been very militantly saying they don't want this to become an E3. Mm-hmm. And just to talk to one of other Liberty Cabbage, is that it?
Liberty Cabbage.
You know what? I got to say, you're right. Guy, gal, whoever, Liberty, you got some awesome points there. And one thing, actually, I just want to like bring up, I don't know if we're taking it too far off topic, but I think that when you see all these websites and magazines just have their GDC, X06, E3, whatever, that's lazy reporting. Honestly, I don't want to see a report about a convention or some kind of line show. If there's something cool that comes out of it, sure, do a story, but don't like do some like lame rapper story just to like...
But the more, I think the concern, I mean, we know that the people that are responsible for putting the convention together or the conference together have stated that they don't want it to become the other thing. But I'm wondering to what extent that's in their control.
Right.
Sean talk about, sure. He was noting earlier just how many ancillary things are happening where in the hotels in the area and across the street.
Right. One of the things you'll notice is that a lot of the quote-unquote press events that they're staging where they want us to come see their demos are not at the show proper. They're at the hotels around it.
Right. That's been happening for a long time, though.
So has it been happening to this degree? Because it just seems, I agree with Sean, it just seems like this year excessive.
I agree with you.
Even
but
in San Jose, I mean, I remember going and seeing, you know, different, like Mace Griffin, I went and saw a demo for that bad boy at the hotel across from the San Jose Convention Center.
But
to this extent.
Yeah, I think in the past it's been a lot of like the lesser games that you really wouldn't have heard of otherwise. Like kind of the hungry developers wanted to get their stuff out there. Like I first saw Field Ops last year at GDC. And I met somebody in a hotel room, and things happen. And I don't want to talk about it.
Well, see, but some field ops.
Maybe they just shouldn't allow press at GDC.
That's what I was actually going to say. Because here's the thing: for one, if you allow press in, and in today's age where press is increasingly not so much a matter of a pen and a notebook, but also video cameras and recording devices of all sorts, that once you put them in. Then whatever you're showing becomes a public matter, as it were.
Yeah.
So then what happens, and you know, when I was a couple weeks ago when I was talking to Mitch Gittleman from FASA, who's making Shadowrun, which we're going to talk about again later today, he was complaining, and this is old news now, but when they first showed his game at E3, he felt that it didn't get a fair shake because they were developing it in a way that games ought to be developed in, is that where you focus on the content and the gameplay and the deep structures of the game, and then you throw the trappings on later on. But because of it, the game looked very mundane, you know, very drab. But everyone had written it off as like, okay, here's some generic shit, you know. So
because
here's what I'm thinking: is if you're showing your game in any way, shape, or form, and you know the press is there, you might at that point you've invited the entire world in, and the world is going to be it's going to be coming to those conclusions prematurely and unfairly. And you're just creating this unofficial pressure for if you are going to show something and the press is going to be there, which also means that the entire world's looking at it, you get right back into the whole E3 trap where you're putting the trappings on this stuff before you ought to be.
Right.
And you're trying to make it presentable to the public who's not necessarily aware or tuned into the way that the nature of game development and production.
Right.
And I think it's kind of I totally agree with you on this. And some other companies use the same process, like Epic, for example. They do the same, like, you know, basically build a game around gameplay first around Chicken Wire and then kind of add the graphics on later. And they definitely got an unfair shake last year because everyone forgot these guys actually have a pretty good track record too. They did the Crimson Skies games, the Mech Warrior games.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like, you know, give them a freaking break.
And that's the whole concern with this. And then once you do, I think the other thing too is that because of it, you have. With the increased importance of websites in the press covering things, and it's a day-to-day need. Instead of us where it's like to sell a certain number of magazines and subscriptions on a monthly basis, we have the day-to-day need to have people visiting your site and clicking on your links and stuff. You want big, sensational stories. So, GDC has done an excellent job of covering itself in the past in that you can go to like a Gamasutra or something, or there are all these places where you can go and get word-for-word transcripts and recordings of, you know, the proceedings there. So you want to hear about something, you can virtually be there. But now you're going to see all these places, and every day they're going to want to put up a million stories, and they're going to want you to click on them. And it's like they're going to want them to seem, I mean, are they going to want, I don't know. I mean, they're going to, how are they going to sex this stuff up? I mean, sometimes it's really, really dry. I mean, if it says it's an AI demo on Company Heroes and stuff, it's not a layperson discussion.
It's a high-level discussion.
Work on AI, and you go in, and you're not going to hear,
like, okay, did you see this guy? He just jumped over that wall and he just dug a ditch and dug that, you know, hunkered down in there. Someone threw a grenade in, he threw it back out. I mean, you're not hearing that. You're hearing like 1 + 1 = 5 and 5 + 5 = 6. And that's some bad math, but there's a burp to help to need that for dispel the. But anyway, so you're going to go and you're basically going to get some what is depending on who you are and you know your perspective is not interesting. So I'm just wondering. I don't know.
Do people you're wondering, will people really care about every single panel?
Do they care, and are they going to get it wrong? Are they going to be inclined to make a bigger stink about things than necessarily are? I mean, if it's just a panel that's like, hey, here's the AI that's implemented in the game as you know it, here's how it worked, and instead you get like, oh, well, here's this rad new thing, and I don't know. No, I'm kind of out in left field now, but
I think
it is the 1 + 1 = 5 stuff that got me into this deep Orwellian. Mm-hmm.
Territory. No, but I'll Ryan is just has this look of shell shock.
Yeah.
Are you fixing your wires again there, by the way? OCD
no.
boy? No? Okay.
So, yeah, what you guys think about?
Well, I mean, I guess from my own personal experience, I went to one of the Microsoft Meltdowns, like their kind of line show, kind of big news event like last summer. And they were talking about, you know, before DX10 was officially rolled out. And, I mean, I got a good handle on some of that stuff, but like when I sat my ass down, it was like guy opened his mouth and ones and zeros came out. I was just like, what the hell is he saying?
And that's great. It's just it's got its place. It's just like
right.
Ryan said,
it's got its audience. That's for sure.
Do we need to be there?
Well,
you know?
In the past, at past GDCs, I mean, we've often kind of shrugged our shoulders and said like, there's not really much here for us.
Well, I think the trick is finding those cool things that are there. I mean, like,
I mean,
it's a less immediate sense. Like, like we go and we're looking to see. Okay, maybe patterns emerge. Maybe it turns out that out of like 6 panels, 3 key people were like in a roundabout way very interested in the same issues. And we're able to say, okay, for the going ahead for the year, these seem to be, we know that like this is an important issue to this guy or to this girl, and that these are all, you know, we kind of like sort of take the go in there and get the barometer of what's going on. But we don't go in there to go and turn that into a story that day or that very month or
well, that's
right,
the problem. You know? That's just the web shotgun reporting. You don't get a chance to sit down and analyze it. You know, it's kind of like
or in print too. I mean, I don't want to like slam the web stuff. I mean, even if you went and said and you had a very good analysis of what you had just seen, like what are you getting from that? Unless you're really editorializing it, and I think to do that fairly, you need to be paying a great deal of attention.
Picture.
And also just or if like maybe if people are doing stories where they're attending a number of these things. And they're doing what I was just saying, where you're looking at them and you're saying, okay, maybe these sort of themes seem to emerge. Maybe these are, you know, looking at this, and if and insofar as we can make any claims about the state of the nation based on what we've seen and heard, then we'll do that here. I mean, I think that stuff could be cool. But if we're just getting a bunch of regurgitation of what's already going on, it's kind of like when, I don't know, like a company gives you a demo and it's available to like a beta. It's public, but only to a certain number of people. And they go on forums and they just want to brag that they were there and that they got to play it. And so there's this like total redundancy and everyone's just saying the same thing that like, okay, well, the character now has a yellow and a blue model and you can choose between them or whatever.
Shit, yellow and blue?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Where did that come from?
Pulling shit out my ass.
Oh, yeah.
I think most people are just not used to E3 not existing yet.
Well, yeah, there's that whole question. Is it going to go? Because it's that whole phenomena still got to migrate somewhere. Because I don't think it's not going to happen.
It's a need without a home right now.
Are they still calling like the surrogate for it now? The E for everyone?
No. Well, that's the game. That's the IDG thing. The Game Pro, whatever they're calling it.
That's a crazy ass name. Like, that's a good name for a rave. Not so much for a game conference.
Wasn't that voted amongst
E for everyone?
It was like a,
oh my god, I love you guys.
It was user submitted or something.
So wait, users voted for that as the name of the convention,
Or they submitted it and someone voted?
Well, come on.
Also known as the what's your favorite color?
Surprised?
Convention.
Well, you know what? Seriously, like anyone who voted for that, they need to tag them and release them back into the wild so we can like find out where they reproduce and what they actually do on a database basis. But
and then there's that one that new E3.
Oh yeah, the new. Then I don't think they even know what E3 is going to be.
And nobody's really sure what that is yet.
And then there's the publisher by publisher stuff that's going to happen where you're going to have these events,
the line
kind
shows.
That you know where Liberty Cabbage was talking about the E3, XO6, TGS. Yeah, those are all the big ones. Instead, you're going to have these
sizzling someone hates, courtesy of publisher. Da 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 da. You know,
right?
You know,
but yeah, like, those are the controlled experiences.
Like the things.
Greasy are, March mornings.
You know, like whatever. You're gonna make an event out of all this.
No, but like the things that just, that's exactly what I was talking about. Like the kind of stuff that just the lazy reporting that pisses me off. You go to like some kind of line show to see every game a publisher makes, and you have to line up all the interviewees against a backdrop with the company logo behind it.
And those ones worry me in a way because, like, in those situations, they don't have to necessarily drag out the big boys that you would want to be seeing because you're going to be there anyway. So,
and a lot, like, especially,
here's our kids,
I mean, we're all in this area, but, like, I mean, like, if a company holds one of those out here and they're flying people out from around the world and they've already committed to, you know, say you work for a website in Germany or whatever and you've already sent someone out here, it's like you're going to write about whatever.
Right.
They already got you here. So, like, if the company – let's say the company is EA. Well, we're not going to slam them. But then they're not going to be showing Spore and Crisis there. But once they got you out, they're going to be breaking out, you know, Superman DS or something that they just announced. And
oh, sweet.
You know, whatever. So, you know, that kind of stuff.
Oh, I hope right. It's as good as the movie was.
That actually happened. I mean, that was supposed to be a hypothetical, but it's pretty close to what happened last year where we went. And they did have the big announcement where you saw Team Fortress 2. That was pretty cool. But
they didn't have Spore.
Yeah. But they didn't have any of that stuff there. Well, it kind of felt like the redhead stepchildren. Well, like, yeah.
They had, like, they had Sims 2 pets with, like, a dog trainer doing tricks with their dog.
Oh, I would have seen that.
Well, what I really love is how that, well, not just
like going actually, to SeaWorld.
Just to say again, not to slam EA, actually other companies did this too. Is like they'll bring you out, make you burn a whole day just checking out all this stuff, or half a day or whatever.
Yeah, every company does it, and they're going to be doing that more and more.
And then they say, "Well, here's a trailer. If you want to actually see the game in motion, you got to come by our booth." But the thing is, what booth are they going to do that for now? Are they going to make us do that for GDC this week? Are they going to pull that like with the new E3? Is it going to be like Digital Life in New York?
I mean, I don't know.
That's the big question.
Problem.
It's going to be a big shotgun blast of different events.
Yeah,
I think
this next year over these events.
Penny, I bet you, mark my words,
to figure it out.
I bet stuff like Penny Arcade is going to blow up even further. I mean, like, this past year was pretty good, but, like, I can imagine that, like, getting, like, way out of control.
What's rad about the branding is, like another one, Atari University's one. Like, I'm not naming names, man, but but it's like you see stories about like we went to Atari University and you're like that's the whole headline.
Right.
The subheadline doesn't even explain.
It doesn't have anything to do.
You're like, oh, Atari's like gotten into education now or something.
That's right.
No, that's just the and brand like, name
yeah,
for their
just,
press event.
They named that to like in the email to get you like to come out and eat
learn
some, like croissants and play some games.
Yeah,
now you just go post the story like verbatim. Yeah, so we're down here to Atari University,
like
man.
Yeah, apparently the university is located somewhere.
Food's good.
Hand you a fake diploma as you leave with the check mark next to all the games you saw.
And apparently the curriculum is all on the beach and like in Cabo or something. But whatever.
I haven't been to that one.
It's fun.
Whee.
So you guys have any closing comments on and concerns for GDC before we go? I mean, when we come back next week, we'll have attended all these things and mm-hmm. we'll have a good deal to talk about. But anything else going into it? I mean, this is going to be late. It sucks. It's going to go
up
tomorrow
it's gonna suck.
Everyone's going to be looking at those stories that we were just talking about.
That we're bashing on. But yeah.
Let's move on then.
Well, the only thing I was going to say is just please, guys in charge of GDC, Jamil, Jane, you guys, stay true. Don't let it become an E3.
Keep it the true school session.
Keep it true school about the peoples, about the developers, because that's what the show is.
True school. True school. Keep it true school.
Too true.
It's up to the hotel managers, too. Don't book.
Oh, man, that's right. There's no in the past, it was actually kind of cool. In the past, it was more of like a social gathering. Like, after hours, everyone would meet at the Fairmont in San Jose.
Right. Yeah, what's the new designated?
That's the problem.
Like,
there's no huge area where everyone can kind of gather because
it's balkanized to all these parties, you know.
Exactly. So it is kind of becoming an E3 in that respect.
That's the other good thing about E3 we're talking about. You go to these and then you get like everyone sauced up a bit and they got loose lips and it's not that they're telling you what their next project is, but you get them talking about what's bugging them again.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. You know, what is it about your job that's a pain in your ass right now, or what's going to be the big stuff this next year?
Don't reveal our trade secrets.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Booze, truth serum.
Okay, so moving on, I think it's a good time. Now is as good a time as any to talk about the heroes of the web.
Ah, oh, good.
That's our weekly segment.
Is this a new thing?
This is new, Darren. It's basically just a loving reading, a loving, loving dramatic reading of some of the finest specimens of internet posting.
Well, if you know, you need some kind of proper like intro for this, like Heroes of the Internet.
That'll do.
Okay, done.
So
I'll just copy that in every episode.
This has been a trend where, like, okay, Whiskey Nerd. This is like also new too, Darren. Since you've been.
Well, I have a very strong affinity for whiskey. So don't
character the Whiskey Nerd. And he's good. He's good for a certain type of certain type of online denizen, and such as Rocksteady 33. Who originally posted this on the NeoGamingH forums.
Is he a breakdancer?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think he's just a pretender. Okay. A couple days ago, I picked up Tetris DS again and discovered online play, and I just love whooping kid asses all day in it. And I play those Japanese people and get my ass whooped all day. So basically, I've been playing for at least 2 to 3 hours a day, and I'm hooked all over again despite the shitty unlimited turn move. Of course, I succumb to the Tetris syndrome, where I see Tetris blocks everywhere, and it's embarrassing. But I know I'm not the only one this has happened to. So anyway, while I was watching a movie with a lady friend of mine last night, that would be Captain Ron, for those of you who are interested, we started getting a little touchy-feely.
Because Captain Ron inspires that.
And anyway, like,
keep going.
In a web post and you hear a lady friend, like, that's the most, like, douchey thing. I've got a lady friend. That's like, with my girlfriend! as the something awful guys put it. So, Captain Ron. Let me get back in now. You broke character, man.
Sorry.
Whiskey Nerd, come
so,
back.
So, anyway, I was watching a movie with a lady friend of mine last night. Captain Ron, for those of you who are interested. We started getting a little touchy-feely. After a couple more shots of Kharkov vodka, that's $12 a handle. I keep it fucking classy. And some make-out sessions. We went into the bathroom. Before you know it, we were having sex on the bathroom floor. And yet the only goddamn thing I could do was stare at the bathroom tiles, which were tiny squares and looked exactly like Tetris pieces, and envisioned putting the pieces together. I got so distracted I had to stop, and I couldn't tell her the truth. So I just claimed I had a massive whiskey dick, and she eventually went home.
Ooh.
Now, you know, thanks to this reading, I now have a vision of, like, some guy listening to Johnny Cash.
That said, we've got a response right here.
Oh, good.
Revenant Kyoku.
Okay.
Excellent.
Says, Revenant Kyoku, he is not indignant this time. He chimes in. This is a kindred soul. Kindred soul says, sometimes when I wake up in the night to take a shit, if I'm really tired, my mind will be influenced by what I was playing before bed. I was playing Paper Mario 2 and I sat on the toilet thinking, I don't have enough FP to take this shit. So,
I don't want to wipe with Mario.
If you haven't turned the podcast off yet, this is
really
as low as it's going to go. Those were all direct quotes. That was not me. That was not any member of this podcast. These are real things that we found out there in the internet.
Real heroes.
Yeah, these are the real heroes.
Real American hero.
So, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to comment on that more, but like the guy is. I mean, what's there to even say?
What can I say to that?
You're just like. I can segue it is. That's like Om or something. You know, like it's a meditational aid, but it's also like the lost chord or something.
Can you do the cricket sound effect as the Michael Winslow of our podcast? Can you actually do that? That's what I feel like.
I'm probably gonna fail now that the pressure's on.
Oh yeah,
right. I'm too dry from doing the whiskey nerd thing. I have to get a drink.
He's like, that would be the best, most appropriate.
I tore
moment
the vocals
for that.
Up trying to imitate.
Your nodules are begging
Doctor
you to forget.
Feel good. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Well, you know, I've had dreams about games I've been playing too much, but does it go beyond that? No.
Like,
has that ever happened to you?
Bad. That dude just wants attention or something. And maybe people pointed out. I guess there's an ad for that Axe body spray.
Yeah.
It's like it's not really a PC term. It's called a something shower, or south of the border neighbors shower.
When you just use that paper towel. Oh, I heard an Elvis shower.
That's like people use
Elvis
like
shower?
Febreze. Yeah. You know, like, I'm not getting in the shower. I got a bottle of Febreze. And spray
okay,
that
I know what you're talking
over.
About. Yeah.
It's like Axe. Whoa. That's what I think Axe is.
A bottle of Febreze.
So Axe
shout
like that.
Put some tie to my underwear.
But so they had this ad where it was like a Tetris piece, sort of phallic looking on the bottom in like the Space Invaders type scenario, but then a bunch of like U-shaped pieces falling down, but there were tons of them. They were all going right, and it was a perfect fit for the
the dong looking unit piece down on the bottom. But I was wondering if it was that, like if he saw that and thought he was going to be clever.
Oh, and like make a story out of the accent
story.
Yeah.
But it seemed to go on, and he talked about how like the next night, I mean, people helped him and gave him advice, and the next night he said he was able to copulate without envisioning the pieces from this digital game.
So he was playing Bubble Bobble for that night before. That was another tip?
Yeah. Okay, so now, Ryan, that you feel good and awkward, we're ready to move.
Keep your hands above the table, Ryan.
Ready to move this joint on.
We should take a break before we do that.
Oh, really?
You should do that. That's what you spinning your fingers around.
That's what that
for the
means.
Last 10 minutes means. All right, let's take a break.
All right.
We'll be back after these.
Can't get enough of DL.TV? Then download our podcast. Just go to DL.TV and click on the audio link.
We're turning them loose.
You'll be able to listen to Patrick, Robert, and the rest of the gang over and over and over again.
Remember to keep the ear canal clean and don't share if you don't want to risk spreading disease.
And we're back.
Hey.
After the rad break. And as promised, we are going to discuss what we've been playing. And this is one where things can go wrong because...
Horribly, horribly wrong.
Because it's been a lot of non-PC stuff.
Yeah.
All around. It's just been one of those weeks. I mean, we're like once in a while we'll do these and people get on the message boards and like... Well, I thought you were supposed to be the PC podcast, the Games Through Windows podcast. Why are you talking about Xbox games? Why are you talking about my PC games?
So message board poster, that is you.
Yeah, and it's just like, hey, you know, but it varies week by week. I think a lot of us here would be playing. We got our reasons for not been, you know, balls deep in Supreme Commander yet, other than that I'm still messing with that computer and the video card thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we all played the demo for Command & Conquer 3. Except for you because you were gone.
I have.
But the rest of us did.
So how are you guys liking it?
It's cool.
I mean, it's very old school.
It's very old school. And
does it have the FMV clips in the demo?
It's got the FMV clips, does. Which we could talk about in a sec.
Yeah, okay, but, I'm dying to talk about this.
Let's talk about the FMV right now. I mean, this is going to be some redundancy to this new section we've got in a magazine we're working on now where it's kind of like a podcast page. And it's not. We're not transcribing what we talk about here on that page.
This has nothing to do with this.
We're bringing the spirit of this motherfucker
to the written word.
Page.
we're delivering truth.
But one of the things we're talking about is just FMV in general and games and what the deal is on that. So my first reaction on this, I can give you mine. Why don't you give yours as your guys' first as being people who are highly accustomed to getting the FMV in your games.
Mm-hmm. Highly accustomed.
Because it shocked me. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And it's just kind of funny they resurrected it for this because it was kind of...
It was very comfortable to me because it was exactly the same style. It was like the super cheesy high camp. Like, part of me, the thing that either makes it or breaks it for me is like, me thinking, does EA or whoever's making the FMV game in question realize how crappy this is? Mm-hmm. And if they do, and if I think they do, then I'm on board with it. And if they don't, then suddenly it's just like, well, this is stupid.
That's always like a big thing. It's like if someone is aware that they suck, it's okay for them to suck. But if they think that they don't.
I don't know. Like some people buy into that, like, and I do. And I'm like, yeah, camp is okay, fine. I'm on board with camp. And some people are just like, no way.
Right.
Where are you on that side of the fence?
Well, I think that it looks like... Go ahead, man. Well, I think the thing... I'm starting to wonder if they actually were trying to go for camp. I mean, I haven't seen the video yet, mind you. I'm just going off the cast they're using. I mean, they have some like notable actors in there.
Yeah, but do you pay for like Trisha Helfer and whoever
Grace Park
Boomer is? Yeah, Grace Park, and then
I would pay for her.
I mean, do you pay and what's his Sawyer? What's the dude's real name?
Josh Holloway.
Why you tools know all these people's real names?
Yeah, I don't know.
They got
there's
Sawyer
space
in there.
There's space in my
Boomer.
Brain for this.
Hey, I mean, they're not. I mean, dude, it's not like okay, it's not like getting Tom Cruise or whatever on your cast but it's costing them something.
Right.
I mean, otherwise they would just have like the QA team all go down to the mocap studio and, you know, pop lock and top rock for a while, put some laser sounds in the background and good to go. But
get the cast to break in Electric Boogaloo.
So yeah, I think that is important. Just like in the same way that like listeners write in and they get mad saying, "Ooh, these guys think they are making fun of nerds all the time. Don't they realize they're nerds too?" But then the rest of people say, "Yeah, they know they're nerds." That's like the whole point of it. But, it's kind of like that with the movie. But for me, it's hard. I do not know. I'm convinced. Actually, I'm not convinced. But I'm pretty certain that they think that this is hot stuff. That's straightforward.
Really?
You don't. Yeah. No.
you know, no asides or anything or smirks or winks. It's like, this is, here's some good shit right here.
Yeah, you don't think that's crossing their mind that this is like, at least slightly cheesy.
But if they did a smirk or a wink, that would totally ruin it. So
it totally would.
It's got to be played straight.
It's got to be played as straight as possible.
No, like, it's like, a weird line. The Toxic Avenger is like a classic.
Yeah.
Now I'm confused. Maybe I take it back. Maybe
Sergeant
it's better
Kabuki, man,
when they know it sucks, then it's stupid. Because then you get like a Scary Movie and shit. But when they think it's rad and it sucks, then you get the Coven. And I'm saying,
you get Ed Wood.
That's exactly. I was about to reference.
And I'm saying it that way. That's how the director pronounced it, because he doesn't want it to rhyme.
Oven.
Right. Yeah. But that's if you've seen the movie, we're talking about America. It's called American.
Love
movie.
That movie.
It's one of the greatest documentaries.
What was the sequel they did? I mean, like the next movie?
The same director made a movie called Home Movie.
That's what
incredible.
I want to say. I totally want to say that.
Oh, that
but the guy that made the Colvin, because he doesn't want to rhyme with oven, is just, he's completely sincere, and he makes just this god awful movie. But it's so rad because the guy's so earnest. I mean, this is gonna be great, man. He shows it to you.
You think that's what's going on?
Don't even know what to say. I think it's kind of like that, because when Kane is addressing me from, like, what did I call it?
The Halloween store.
Section. Yeah, from the Spirit Halloween store. He's like, 5 minutes ago, he took off his eye patch and left Midway's offices where he was playing Kano in Mortal Kombat. shaved his head that morning, got himself all set, and then goes over to the other studio and drop science. And then, like, then the other guys are standing in front of, like, EA's server bank, right? You know, I mean, there's just flashing. They're like, where can we go to get flashing lights?
We need blinking lights. Like,
there's some in the server
room. The UI for the game is in the background on the monitor.
So they put, like, a space bib on them. And I think it stands out more because like, the production quality for television has gone up.
Right.
Over, you know, like, you know, when you look at, like, a Battlestar Galactica or something, it's like the price of entry is that much higher. So it actually looks good. So it makes it look chintzier. When there's people running around, it's like, dude, those are people running around in front of a matte painting.
Right.
And it's really obvious.
The other problem is the way they interact is because they're talking to you, the player, who obviously has absolutely nothing they can say in response to these people. So you're just kind of like...
Yeah, you can't. It's like Gordon Freeman. You know, that whole thing where we were talking about before, Gordon Freeman's awkward because you have, like, crying women and you got Alex and you're like, just want to
all you can
hug.
Do is, like, pick up some crates and throw them at them. That's your only response.
But it's even more awkward because it's real people. So it's creepy, like one of those, like, POV pornos. I don't know how I know what that is, but I do because I know how I know
those
about
are great.
It. Here's the whole thing. It's like when I went to visit Vivendi published the 50 Cent game to go do a coverage on the 50 Cent game for EGM. Like, they sat me down in the studio, and this thing was, like, wall-to-wall. It was covered in 50 Cent albums and anything you'd done. You know, so they got posters of, like, the vitamin water that dude put his formula on. And but they had the POV pornos, too. They're like, this is just another part of 50's empire.
Is he, like...
He's branched out into all these various, you know, media.
So is he, like, Buckaroo Banzai?
So, yeah, dude. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
I don't know what that means either, but I'm going to laugh.
Neurosurgeon? Ninja? Physicist?
Okay. Jack of all trades.
I didn't see Buckaroo Banzai. I saw the trailers for Buckaroo Banzai.
Horribly good.
So he is like that. Yeah. So he not only is like he concocts, he's a mixologist and concocts like water that's good for you. It's not just water, but check, it's good for you.
Oh,
unlike regular water. It's basically just grape drink, dude. Just put some grape food coloring in water. But then he had POV pornos. But anyway, that's like the kind of vibe. It's just like something's not right.
Right.
Without going into detail, something is not right.
I mean, the only way you can picture yourself on the receiving end of this is just like, trapped in like a box and just like grinning with your eyes like glued open. You're just like, okay.
Or the cameraman just materializes in your mind's eye and you're thinking of how awkward it is for like Grace Park to be sitting there like talking into the camera.
How do you act against that?
Yeah.
You don't.
But she's talking to me.
Yeah. Where I do think it works though is like when the little pitcher in pitcher box comes in and when you're actually in the game, when you're getting an update or... when you're getting an update, that's good enough. I don't need to add anything to that.
Yeah, we know what that means.
Yeah, you're mid-battle and a little thing pops up.
We play computer games.
Then it works because, like, I guess the scale, you're like, okay, I could be a general interacting with the battlefield in this perspective and with this level of detachment. And it's not so jarring that you've got, like, real flesh and blood people and digital, you know, computer-generated imagery on the one part. And I thought that worked fine.
Well, I guess because that convention was kind of started with the FMV stuff, and then they kind of just, as the CG got better, they put that in that little window instead.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of like never really left it never really left the genre that was always there.
Yeah. So that part works for me, but it's almost like it's just telling like of how far graphics have to go. when you start juxtaposing the two, when you're shuttling between, you just did your mission,
right.
And also reminding you of like how difficult it is to inject any kind of character or personal drama into a game of this genre.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. You're throwing is the kind of game. Get real. Like I'm gonna make 500 dudes with machine guns and send them out because 490 is not enough to kill like the other guys they have. And they're all going to get wiped out, but I'm going to get to take the base.
Where's the
and then all of a sudden, you're like, okay, I think Grace Park likes me. I saw the way she was looking at me.
It's just
like a really weird fit for them to do it. And I understand why they want to put that in,
but am I going to cry when soldier number 307 cries in his death? Ah! And that's it. Okay, next, build another one.
And all that holds for other games, too. Company Heroes, which we love, is the same thing, but they just do the cutscenes in the in-game engine, so it's less jarring, but you still have that disparity between you got these people and you're supposed to care for them, but you're like, okay, obviously that wasn't the first group of engineers that ran up and got mowed down. Okay, it wasn't the second. It wasn't the third. I'll just pretend it was the guys that I end up winning the map with, you know.
To me, like, I am not a Command & Conquer expert, but seeing FMV in any game just kind of gives me bad flashbacks of Phantasmagoria and Mad Dog McCree.
Dude, don't say a bad word about Mad Dog.
Mad Dog is hot.
I dropped Mad Quarters on that game.
I found out if you I searched for it on YouTube. I was showing Sean, and it's even better because it's the Sega CD version. someone taped them playing through the levels,
trying to control the gun.
It's even like shittier and like more digitized than the Sega CD one. And instead of an actual light gun, you move a little cursor of a crappy like 8-bit pixel gun around the screen, and you shoot at the guys.
I gotta say, when those things were coming out, like,
and Corpse Killer and
Sewer
Space
Shark.
Pirates.
When those things were during the heyday of FMV, I was totally on board. Like, I thought this was awesome. And, like, looking back, I'm just like, what the hell was I thinking? But I got the Sega CD day one because, like, I want to play Night Trap, damn it.
I was like,
I want to see Dana play
Dana Plato in a nighty? Awesome. I'm all over that.
Ryan was doing it for $50 less with the Captain Power VHS and his little Starship toy and a couple AA batteries.
Oh, you, dude.
Beep, beep, beep. Shooting at the screen.
Okay, by the way, I was at total, like, non sequitur, but I was at WonderCon this weekend.
That's all this is.
And I saw the Captain Power collection, the entire run of the series for a mere $125. I did not buy it.
That's going to make some man baby.
I can see like some gravy drinking man baby at home.
I'll
like
take, the entire run of Captain Power
and the Phoenix.
Box
and
of the XXL man diapers, please.
This will go perfectly with my Captain Power spaceship at home.
Going down a level. I just said he bought like XXL man diapers, man. Like how is the having the ship any more incriminating? Dude, check it. Not only does this guy have diapers, he's got the ship. All right.
Okay. So that I can actually like play with the ship and not go to the bathroom.
In his diapers. What else did you see there? Let's take this because Comic Cons are usually,
You know what? Actually,
fertile territory.
Actually, I have to show you the pictures later. But there was a costume masquerade, contest. Awesome.
Man, I saw some.
I'll post some of the pictures up on the boards after we do this.
Like, speaking of costumes, I saw some huge fat dude in like a Nightwing T-shirt. Just like the Nightwing logo and just
explain Nightwing to the same among us.
Nightwing's a Batman character.
Well, it's like Robin can't be a child for his entire life. So at some point he grows up, and after Batman and Robin they've been working together for a certain amount of time, he will become into his own, and he will become Nightwing.
You're making fun of that, but you actually know the explanation.
That's the whole thing I was saying. People like that guy makes fun of nerds. He makes fun of nerds, but he wouldn't know the stuff that he makes fun of if he wasn't a nerd himself.
No
meanwhile,
shit.
Meanwhile, oh, crap, you caught us.
You got us.
How do you think? How do you figure?
It's like we all run to the comic store and read the same issues.
You just start. You can't start off a story. So I was at WonderCon the other day and have it go anywhere but like incrimination.
Yep.
And Waja, exactly. Let me introduce this. I meant to introduce this term before, Waja. WHJAH, and as far as I know, it was coined by Saint Genesius, who's a member on our forums. The one
I thought you were going to say the actual saint.
No, but anyway, it's just like it's embarrassment by proxy. But anytime you're sitting there and like, so I mean, you could say everything's Waja. I mean, the most accessible example would be anything
Ollie G related, where you're watching it and it's just like
embarrassed,
like, painfully
for the people.
Embarrassed. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jewish chills,
but to like Heroes of the Web is Waja, to, you know, some watching Grace Park do FMV for a video game, you know, can be Waja, or Mark Hamill like going from, you know, the lead in this blockbuster movie to like, ha ha ha, Batman, you'll never foil me, or whatever.
No, actually, seeing him be the weather wizard on the Flash TV series, that was the Waja moment.
Or the Guyver, like they throw some, they like super glued some plastic to him, turn him into some kind of real hero. Ryan, oh.
You're like, Ryan's like biting his tongue right
I
now.
Love that stuff.
Were you Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
He revels in it.
But that dude is down to earth.
He revels in it. He loves it.
Yeah,
he knows
like,
what's
you
going
can't,
on.
You can't.
Wait, was it the weather wizard or the
guy.
Trickster or whatever the hell it was?
I was just going to say he wasn't the weather wizard.
Wait, who was he?
He was the trickster.
Okay.
Who was Pace Puck?
Actually, the one, like, the most manly nerd thing I did while I was at WonderCon, I got an early screener for 300. Holy crap, that movie is awesome.
Manly, huh?
Did you see the whole thing, or just
well? Actually, I just got back from my honeymoon, so I missed the act. They actually had a limited screening, so I missed that. But I did catch they showed a chunk of it the next day during a Q&A panel.
And you're willing to say the movie is awesome based on the chunk you've seen?
Based on the chunk I've seen, I read the original graphic novel by Frank Miller.
I think I don't know, like,
and I'm really looking forward to it.
Let's not go too far.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I'm sorry. I don't want to take it too far off track, but definitely check out that movie.
Yeah. I will. Okay, so...
Sorry, so we're back to...
What about the gameplay of CNC real quick from the demo that we've played? One thing that surprised me coming out of Company Heroes and into the CNC is... I mean, how similar they are in a lot of ways, but then also how, like, weird, how unused to some of the, like, the standards of the older style RTS I am. Like, for example, in the second mission of the demo, I created a Jeep and I threw some infantry, garrisoned some infantry, and it took it out to scout through the fog of war and see what was going on around. And the first thing I run into is this, like, sizable troop of Nod guys, and they just start blasting the hell out of me. So I'm like, okay, like, let's just change plans. I'll take it back to my base. But they follow me back to my base. This is, like, in the first minute. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing I know, there's this giant fucking army at my base just blasting the shit out of me. And I'm like, dude, it's Company Heroes. Like, it would be the same thing. Like, they wouldn't be doing that for one. They would be – I mean, they have some annoying AI stuff. I call it spite capping, where the AI just wants to completely break your supply lines, and it will spam pioneers in your backfield. But it's like, what was I supposed to do? Just sit there and farm like the stupid kryptonite for like a half an hour and build up an army and then go? I mean, like, why do I even have a scout jeep if the only thing it's going to do is alert like this like bullshit army that's going to come back and mess me up in the first minute of the game?
Well, it's almost like you have to basically that scout troop you created would have to be like a
just let
them die out in the wild.
I don't know, it depends on
but
the
like,
game.
How am I supposed
know,
to know that? I guess that's true.
I mean, a lot of
people
games...
are like, well, if you were a scout and you run into an invasion army numbering about, you know, 800 units strong, would you take them right back to your headquarters, or would you just sit there and die?
Of course, you're gonna die. I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, it depends on the game, because like some games they have these, you know, pre-established scripted bases already set up. That's
right.
Crazy. You can't get to it till you farm everything.
Yeah.
If you send your scout guy and alert them, they all might just go back into position.
Right.
So I don't know. This might just be a demo quirk. I'm not.
Yeah,
really
it, was,
what,
it was weird.
I don't know what
to, sure like,
you what you set
it's
off.
It's just in the demo. Yeah, but like I turned it off and I was like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, maybe
it's pretty standard.
I was
that,
supposed to tech up and then go out with like a stronger force.
Well, no,
but it just seems so like
it's pretty standard that like in a campaign for an RTS. Yeah, like, I know Company of Heroes is like your main like entry point into the RTS
right, it
genre.
Is. It is. So like this is
and most of
totally
them,
speaking from
like they're not. Building up at the same time as you in the same fashion as you.
Yeah,
they're
already there.
They're already there, right. And you're building up your force and going out.
Right. I mean, it's not always the case, but it's a pretty standard way to
do it. And again, I haven't played the demo.
At least in the campaign.
So I haven't played the demo, so I don't know. Is it structured more like the single-player game, or is it like
a skirmish? This demo was a campaign.
It was a campaign.
Okay.
A tutorial-ish kind of one. Now put an engineer in this.
There's
now use ion cannon.
Plenty of scripting and Company Heroes and stuff, but it's just like I want someone to reassure me and say, okay, there are stages of the game where you like, you know, coming here is there's a distinct like an infantry phase where you're fighting with your infantry and stuff, and then a light vehicle phase. You can forego those and decide, you know, like you can say, I'm gonna like try to speed tech up and I'm just gonna skip the light vehicle phase, but then you're gonna be at a disadvantage while you're saving your resources, you know, and you're only able to do that if you're like winning or if you're going unopposed in your infantry phase. But like where
you have time. You don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't, you're, it's not all of a sudden a matter of like, I need to know how to field every type of infantry and every type of like heavy vehicle and every type of, you know, air unit all at once. It's like you work your way up to that point. And at the end, it's just, you're orchestrating all of them together, and it's really rewarding. But you've, in the beginning of every match, you start off using a few pieces and build to those. So someone out there tell me that, no, it's not like that. You don't have to sit there and
also
turtle and tech up. And
does it feel like, I mean, like, again, I'm operating in the dark right now, but when you're playing the demo, does it feel like it was like the very first tutorial mission, or was it like they just pulled out a mission like level mission 3 or something?
It was definitely early.
Talking about the first. I mean, yeah, there's like tutorial missions I did before that where it's like super handholding. You get like this, you know, cannon, and you blast them, and I mean that was just
The only reason I ask is because like from what I remember from past CNC games that I played is how they have like these structured scenarios where basically. Like Sean's Malloy was pointing out how you want to like very slowly explore and go and branch out and kind of build up your base. Otherwise, you risk like, stirring the hornet's nest early on.
Yeah, totally. And that's fine.
But it's definitely
a chance to do that.
But it's definitely more scenario
driven. That was it. That was the last contact.
I mean, I had a similar experience with Galactic Civilizations 2 over the weekend when I was playing it. There was this one mission where I was kind of building up quietly, and I decided. All right, I'm going to put like a military starbase right on the edge of my civilization. And all that did was set off Terran Alliance, you know, the Earth people.
Yeah.
And suddenly just a flood of these guys that had just been like, well, where'd they come from? Just came and like wiped me out because I put that thing in the wrong spot too early.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know if that was like part of the scripting or if that was like
some weird fluke.
That's just how the AI handles it. Because, you know, if I had built, you know, I didn't blame him. I was like, all right, I put a military star base on your border.
Yeah, that's what happens, yeah.
You instigated. Like, yeah. I mean, I'm sure I crossed some, like, official line where we had made, if I'd paid closer attention to the cutscenes.
Yeah, it was all explained by Grace Park.
Eloquently. You kind of glazed over.
You don't cross this line, ever.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, would you follow Nod? Because he's explained as, like, a very charismatic leader who's uniting the world. But, like, when you see him...
Oh, you mean Kane.
Kane, yeah. Would you, like... If you saw him transmit his message of hope from the red, horrible hell room, would you, like, go, yeah, I'm behind that guy?
That shit is just, like, ludicrous at face. Like, the same reason I turned off V for Vendetta when we rented that. I know, like, people are probably complaining already about that. But the comic was cool.
You didn't like me for
but it
Vendetta.
Had that same thing. It's like that scene. It's like in everything. Let's take over the TV station and broadcast our formula for revolution. And I mean, it's just some dumbass. And immediately, like, everyone's like, yeah, he's right.
Would you listen to that crazy guy in the mask?
Taco Bell is 49 cents too expensive for the soft taco.
I do need fourth meal.
Come on, Ryan. Why don't you laugh at that?
Taco Bell money.
Taco Bell is instant laugh. Okay. Anything else we've been playing but PC stuff?
PC stuff. I'd say no. And I'm proud to say I did not play World of Warcraft once on my honeymoon.
Nice, dude.
Did not go into
We actually, in our podcast when you're gone, I think we said that we were going to be watching for you. But they were making sure that you didn't appear anywhere in Azeroth.
Yeah, there were no – although when I got off the plane, I figured, okay, I'm going to be free of the yoke of gaming for two whole weeks. I won't have to think about anything. I can just detox and all that. And not the game is toxic. But
did you play – you were playing some – handheld stuff, though, I think.
Only on the flight home.
Okay.
Only on the flight. Yeah.
Restraint.
I did have restraint, and also a wife to kick my ass if I fired up anything. But no, but I get off the plane and like I'm walking around Auckland, and all of a sudden there's like some dude with a WoW T-shirt and a Quest Giver cap, and
it's everywhere.
And I go log into an internet cafe just to let my folks know that everything's all right, and there's a whole clan playing WoW. I'm like, oh, so close.
Just because you're the chief. Sour cream squirter at Taco Bell doesn't mean you can get off the plane in Auckland and expect to not see a Taco Bell.
Actually, you can't, but you can't see a hell. you will see a shitload of KFCs.
I don't know what that means, but
no, I'm saying like,
no,
you work in the video game industry. And it's like, by damn, there better not be anything to do with video games when I get off this plane.
And so there's other like, civilized.
Yeah, if you're the dude with the caulking gun and the sour cream, it's like getting mad when you arrive where Calcutta. I don't care where it is, and you see
Taco Bell.
And you see that.
Yeah, no, I was trying to avoid temptation. That's all I'm saying. But
sounded like you did a good job.
I did a pretty good job. Zorbing, awesome, by the way. Zorbing. Jump into a big rubber ball and shove you down a big plastic ball filled with water, shove you down a hill. It's
isn't
awesome.
That what Jackie Chan did in that one movie?
What?
Who am I? Who am I?
I think that was the one.
That was that movie.
What movie was that?
I remember that movie. Who am I? Oh, he keeps asking the whole movie, who am I? Actually, that sounds a little...
Sounds like Schwarzenegger almost there.
It didn't quite have that, like, Fozzie the Bear, like, scratch at the end. But he's, who am I? Actually, that didn't sound right either. I'm going to give up on that one.
All right.
Move on.
All right. So, yeah, other than that, let me see. I played Hotel Dusk and Final Fantasy III on my DS on the flight. So,
yeah, that was the time playing.
There you
That's the end of that.
Okay. Cool. Ryan, what are you playing?
Nothing. Wow.
Still wow? Yeah. Still, yeah. I mean, I'm just going to forego the wow conversation.
Okay.
We have a whole podcast for that now.
I'm starting to get slightly burned out, I guess.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I've been doing a bunch of Battlegrounds, though. So.
And no more Guild Wars for
try
you, of course.
Else.
Not lately, no.
Okay.
Try something else. There's always something else to do in that game.
I'll volunteer. I poop-socked Xbox 360 over...
Oh, right.
And so I played... I went and picked up Street Home Court and played a lot of that. And
really?
Made some characters. That we made the Cephaloid and the Jebusite. So these guys need to become famous. The Jebusite. Yeah, I made a point. I was going to start calling everyone Jebusites and their behavior. Jebusitic and all these other... Jebucolic and all this stuff, but I forgot.
You haven't done that yet.
No. So the Jebusites, the legend of the Jebusite is like the Gergazoid that needs to be proliferated.
Do you need to explain the Gergazoid?
The Gergazoid's just like
Google Gergazoid.
Yeah, Google it. Also Brian Peppers. But so I did that, and then mainly I played the demo for Crackdown co-op, and we played that like all Friday, and I'm like, okay, you know what? Like I gotta like all Friday night, I'm like, okay, we gotta go get this game. So the next morning I went and got the full game and just played it co-op. And at first I was like, there's no way I'm going to like this because I've been an outspoken critic of just having, you know, having had too much GTA post GTA 3. And I never finished San Andreas and I kind of got sick of it halfway through. And I just really didn't want to mess with the generic ones. It was like if Rockstar's like own, if the original thing wasn't doing it for me, I sure as hell didn't want to deal with. And I could be wrong because I was just making these calls based on what I'd seen or heard in the same way I did with Crackdown. And I think I've been proven wrong, but the Saints Row and the Fear and Respect never came out. The whole thing, the fear if it comes out, Respect if it doesn't.
Much respect. Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, more than you, I mean, part of the thing is like, okay, I understand what there is about GTA, you know, and when I say GTA now, I'm talking about GTA post 3. So quit trying to correct me, even though you haven't said anything. So everything about that, I understand why people are attracted to the deep structure of the game and want to say, let's take that magic and put it in some other circumstance. But instead of just doing that, they're taking the entire package over and over again. And that's what's pissed me off. It's like, I mean, if you take a just random, you know, go back to comic nerd stuff, Frank Miller and Jeff Darrow did the Hard Boiled book, and it has nothing to do with the Chow Yun-Fat movies, but it's just super detailed, you know, futuristic world where, I mean, everything, the buildings, the cars, like on every street, and it's like so detailed that there's something weird and messed up happening everywhere. You know, like if you're going to take this big world, why not just like why not come up with some great new idea for one, you know, and then populate it with all kinds of stuff. So everywhere you go, there's something interesting to look at instead of just the same old iterations of dick jokes on marquees for porno theaters and stuff like that, you know. When I understand the need to, say you need to have you need to populate that this world with easily identifiable groups, clans, gangs of people, and instead of going to the usual like, okay, we'll have the Latinos, okay, we'll have the, you know, we'll have the Russians, we'll have the Asian gang, the triads, we'll have all these things, and that made sense when GTA did it, but it's like even Crackdown does it. It's like, dude, you're free to do what you want. It doesn't have to be like the Mexican cartel, the triad, the
disenfranchised,
the Russian
Soviet
mafia, you know, and
they do the same race breakdown.
Pretty much. I mean, you don't have to repeat that every single time.
Yeah.
And so that was like another turnoff to me too. And you see, it's like, I mean, come on, I have some imagination. You have this perfect canvas to do what you want with it, and that, like I said, you know, the equivalent of the structure of the canvas, the way that you're stretching it, and you have this world, and you're able to do, you know, these different missions in it. You could drive in it, and you can walk around. So that turned me off, and it doesn't get that right either. That stuff is still in there, and it's still stupid. But the thing about the game is it's just so much fun to play, and they understand, like, the design stuff. They get so much right that the GTA games haven't. It was like if you took someone and they had a really like well-formed notion about what works about GTA and what doesn't, and they went and made a game based on it, and I'm sure this is actually what happened.
Well, this is totally what happened because the guy who created the GTA series, like 1 and 2.
Right.
I think I'm not sure if he was there for GTA 3 or if he left during the production of it, but basically he's the guy who is at Real-Time Studios, Real-Time Worlds, rather.
Okay.
Who's making Crackdown. And also, there's another game by WebZen they're working on. It's an MMO version of that kind of...
With Calling All Cars?
APB.
Okay, APB.
Oh, they're bringing that back. Or is that not, has nothing to do with the old Atari...
It has nothing to do with the old Atari thing.
Calling All Cars. That's the David
that's the
Jaffe one.
David Jaffe one for PS3.
So what they get right, when I say that they sort of skimmed through it and they looked at what works in GTA, it's just that, you know, when you the typical person plays GTA and you hear it over and over again, you ask someone, it's like, oh, I'm not a gamer, but I have PlayStation 2 and I play those GTA games. I don't do the missions. I just love to go and actually, I might as well be quoting like Bam Margera when I went and interviewed him last. He pretty much said this. Like, I just get the car and I run everyone over and I get a million wanted stars and I go as long as I can until they just kill me. And so it's like everyone would do that, but GTA is designed in such a way that it discourages that, or if you do it, it's only an experimental sort of excursion.
Right.
You're ultimately going to be imprisoned and you're going to lose your money and your weapons unless you're putting in cheat codes. And you're quickly, unless you're really like clever, you're going to just be mowed down. The helicopters are going to come and get you. And again, unless you're putting in the cheat codes to get yourself rocket launchers to blow the helicopters up and stuff. I mean, like, there's that whole side of GTA that happens, I think, when you start cheating. But everyone started doing it. Everyone knows those damn codes, you know? And everyone wants to get and push the limits and get to that point. So you say, like, let's take the whole game and make it that way. There's no repercussions for it. You get the stuff right away. You're super powerful. You blow the shit out of everything. You got the low gravity on already. You don't have to put the code in. So then traversing the city becomes awesome. I mean, it's almost like a hybrid of a Spider-Man game or something. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
You jump like the Hulk, and there's this whole thing of, like, you get these agility orbs, which is another part of the – you know, this game's been out for a few weeks, so I don't need to re-explain the whole thing, especially on the GFW podcast. But basically, the usual – you have a character, and you can enhance his attributes in the same way that you could in San Andreas, but just to, like, the third power or something.
Right.
And then – not only that, but the targeting and the shooting is going to be perfect. You're going to be able to shoot someone's hand if you want to knock their weapon out of it, their legs if you want to drop them to be a shit. You're going to hit the gas tank on the car if you want, or the tire, and you're going to be able to do all this stuff really conveniently and understand what's happening. Combat, you're going to be able to kick. You can kick a car. You get strong enough. You can just, like, asshole physics, like, kick a truck and knock it for, like, a mile, like, you know, down the road or something. And, I mean, that's totally funny. I mean, you go and the key to all this, I guess, you know, here. I thought I was going to keep it short, but the key to all this is that it's co-op. Mm-hmm. And this is what's so rad to me is that I got tired of, like, the foundation for GTA, but co-op does everything different because that's the kind of – I mean, GTA is the key game where you always make these videos and you put them online. Look, I did this crazy jump, or you tell people. You wouldn't have believed it, but I flew the Dodo for – you know, 5 minutes straight without crashing. But it's like now you have someone there because it's always the watch me dive. You know that syndrome you get? But you've got a witness there with you and you can mess with them. So it's like you tell someone, you get like, okay, me and my friend are like, let's climb the highest building just so we can take a look off. Mm-hmm. Like, whoa, dude, look over here. There's like a windmill farm. So he looks and I'm like, look over here, man. There's a theme park. And he looks and I was just making it up. And I just kick him off the roof, you know, put your boot in his ass. And all that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? Like, and then throw a grenade on or whatever. Like, you're like, okay, I was trying to help you. You know, one of you rides on the roof of the car. But
is there?
So much fun because of that. Like, and you look around, you see each other jumping all over the map and all over the world and blasting guys.
Is the gameplay kind of like just more like? Oh, sorry, Ryan.
Ryan.
Sorry, can't entertain you.
Actually, yeah.
No. But as far as the gameplay though, like, is it encouraging the co-op or is it just kind of like two guys playing the single player game together?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard people complain about that it doesn't have, like, Electronic Gaming Monthly's Shoe is complaining that the co-op's not encouraged to the extent that, like, you know, him and the people he's playing with end up going off on their own and just collecting stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's their own shortcoming, you know?
Right.
It's like, I mean, I'm playing with someone, and we're almost, I mean, just, like, zipping through the game, like, rocking stuff, but we agree, like, okay, let's just get so we level up at around the same pace and around, you know, the same things. It's like we would just work together. Mm-hmm. And no matter what, it's always helpful when you're working together. And you don't need I like that more. You know, we're free-form to work in the same way. Sometimes we'll, like, we're going to attack some offshore oil refinery, and we both do it from different angles, and it works out fine. Instead of, like, in, you know, Gears of War or something where you just deliberately split the path and it's obvious and it forces you and says, which one wants to go left and which one wants to go right? And that's cool and stuff, but it's like, I don't need that. I mean, it's kind of against the whole nature of the game. Mm-hmm. It's like, you could do that if you want. You go left and you go right, or you can go together and beat each other up as you're beating the enemy up. You could do whatever you want, you know? The one, in terms of the gameplay, the one shortcoming I see is that because you're so mobile, especially as you power up your agility, you're so fast and can jump so far that the vehicle segment is like is almost poorly implemented, because all you can really do with the cars and stuff is races, which is stupid. It's a pet peeve of mine, races in this kind of game, when a game's not meant as a racing game. And it's just there as like a time waster. And it's cool that you do power up your driving and your car gets awesome and can do all this stuff, but it's like, you don't even really need it. It's like your Spider-Man, like putting cars in one of the Activision's, you know, open world Spider-Man games. It just kind of like
Spider-Man suddenly.
That's poorly implemented, and you know, there's a bunch of head scratchers. Like, why aren't there more varieties of mission? You know, why aren't there planes and motorcycles and stuff? But flat out, like, I could say, I was so into this over the weekend. Now when I go home tonight, I have to go make some like griefing videos for a special project I'm working on. But I really want to go play Crackdown. I think if you have a friend that you're gonna be able to play it with, like completely recommend it. It's so much fun. It's so much more fun to me than the last time. I played GTA.
It's only over live. There's no split screen co-op, right?
No split screen.
Yeah, maybe that's what things need.
So yeah, I said I have a bullshit excuse to turn that around so that it made sense for PC, and that like co-op kind of didn't do that. The game is cool, but co-op, it needs to be in everything. It's so awesome.
I love co-op.
I might be able to pick up that baton and run with it. I'm playing a lot of catch up right now, so I don't know if you guys talked about this on previous podcasts, but I see that Mercenaries 2 is coming to PC now as well.
Yeah, is that a co-op though?
Yeah.
Nice.
So I think that actually, like,
that's really cool. No?
I remember seeing demos, and I kind of half tuned it out because they were only showing the PS3 version during E3 this past year. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, great, a game I can't play. Thanks a lot. And it turns out, I mean, so now that I guess there's a press release, I don't know how recently that came out, but it's on its way for the PC as well. And from what I remember, there's like, you know, these missions that encourage you to like work, the missions are built so you're working together. So like one guy is piloting a helicopter, the other guy comes in on the winch and jumps off and kind of, you know, goes on a whatever.
That sounds really cool.
Cool.
I'll sign up.
I'll do that.
It's not too, you know, scripted where they want you to do everything. Just because. It's like, well, we put this winch on here. We're going to make sure they use it. The only way you can get in the compound, even though there's no gate out front, you can just walk in. Well, you should be able to walk in.
Well,
you got to ride the winch.
Well, the one they showed actually was an oil derrick just offshore. So it was like...
kind of like the mission I just described.
Pretty much.
Exactly. And that's one of the... In Russian land, they're called the Volk. It's kind of weird that the Russian gang is the Volk. But
yeah, I was wondering about that myself.
What the hell is that, man? That's the thing, though, dude. That game, I had to come back to it again. We made the point that the stereotypes, but you start the game, like, what the? It took me a minute to realize, like, all the cars. It's like Radio Latina, La Preciosa. So you started off with that. It's like, okay, man.
Did I buy Total Overdose?
Yeah,
yeah.
Or Chile con Carnage just came out. Ryan, what's your name for that game?
Well, I'll tell you what, Grande Theft Auto.
Dude, Ryan's got a better one.
That works, too.
What is yours, Ryan?
No comment.
Come on, man. You've been sitting there yawning the whole time. I'm like, giving you a chance to shine, man.
He's like the silent Bob of the podcast. I'm waiting for him to like, drop that one nugget. Come on.
I got nothing.
All right.
So he'll blog about it tomorrow. Get like 500
He'll piss off five more people.
Responses.
All you do.
So, Sean?
The controversial Ryan's
guys. You? How about you? Anything outside of WoW?
Just the Galsiv 2 thing I had mentioned. That's about it. And the CNC 3 demo.
Anything, any new observations to make on the Galsiv expansion?
No.
Boy, it's really good.
I mean, it's hard to... I could really get into it. It's one of those things where, like, it adds a bunch of little things that if you don't know how the game works, like me explaining it would be extremely dull.
Right.
But they're all really good enhancements.
Is Galsiv 2 like Civilization?
But that's it's how, very much like Civilization.
It's weird. Like, why? I wonder why it is that you would draw that line there. And I totally understand. Like, I'm like nodding along. Like, yeah, that makes sense. Because it's like, I don't want to hear about the minutia of it. But it's like, I just got done talking about all the minutia of Crackdown. Or like, you would.
Selling it to us.
Yeah.
I would have to explain all of Galactic Civilizations and like. Well, let me give it a shot here.
Okay.
So Galactic Civilizations, one of the things about it that wasn't necessarily bad, but it was just a strange design decision, is you can. Right at the beginning of the game, the first like dozen or so turns are super land grab oriented. It's kind of like Monopoly in a way. You just like you got the whole map of the galaxy. You see a planet that's inhabitable. You just go as fast as you can to build a colony ship and get there.
Right.
And so like the first like 20 turns of the game, which is a very small percentage of the whole game, like almost those turns are very, very important. If you don't get your colony ships out to the right locations, you're screwed. Mm-hmm. That pretty much sets up your territory. This one, they decided to add a tech tree back it up a little bit. Now there are these planets out there that are not immediately inhabitable. They're like toxic or whatever. So you have to first research the technology to inhabit a toxic planet.
Detoxify them.
Yeah, or like it has heavy gravity. So you need to like...
Planet Betty Ford.
So there's like four different types. So once you explore the galaxy, you can kind of get a feel for these places that you can't explore yet, but you know you'll be able to grab them later. So it kind of makes the beginning of the game less hectic.
Yeah.
And makes the it doesn't slow the pace. It just makes the outcome of the game less dependent on those first 20 turns and more spread out. So you say, okay, there's two toxic planets within reach. I need to figure out how to balance.
So you think of like mid and late game terraforming and stuff, then we'll... allow you to get the terrain that you used to have to scramble for.
Right. Yeah. It's the,
See,
that
I haven't even
there.
Played this game. I'm feeling it.
You're feeling it? You're feeling it? Yeah. Okay. So that's stuff like that. There's asteroids you can mine now. The planets will occasionally explode into asteroid fields, and you can mine those, and those are a new resource, which are a lot more easily divertible to, like, a planet. You can just have once an asteroid is mined, you can just divert the resources to whatever planet you want.
Uh-huh.
So that way, if you have, like, way Galactic Civilizations works is a lot of times you'll have very specific planets that are doing specific tasks because you decided, like, this is my manufacturing planet. This is my factory. This is my, whereas this other world is going to be my research world. So there's all these universities and scientists and stuff. So you can decide, okay.
Learning?
There is learning in this game. So you decide, like, okay, I'm in a military phase. I need to really beef up my military production. You can divert the asteroid resources to your military planet or whatever. So you get your warships a lot faster.
That's great.
So, yeah. It's good stuff.
Cool.
It's really good. It's one of those expansions that, like, once you have it, you can't really go back because, like, the changes it makes are all small, but they're really good.
Right.
So, there. Galactic Civilizations 2.
Dark In a nutshell.
Is the game better than Civ 4?
I haven't played all that much Civ 4.
Sacrilege!
I know, it is sacrilege.
Does it have a healthy... online community, like multiplayer?
There is no multiplayer.
Oh.
Okay. I never play these things multiplayer, so that doesn't affect me, but that's like a big sticking point for a lot of people. It's like, hey, how come I can't do multiplayer? The other thing this one does, which I thought was going to be a stupid gimmick, but is actually turning out to be extremely fun in a geeky sort of way I don't really want to admit. But I'm going to anyway, is that you can make your own enemy races. You used to always be able to make your own custom race.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, like, you know, put your own portraits and stuff inside of the portraits folder, so you know, you wanted to be a Cylon, you could put your Cylon chick in there.
Dude, I can make the Cephaloid and the Jebusite.
You totally could. You
can make Jebusite the race?
You totally could.
Space Jebusite.
So I started doing that.
The Gurgazoid race?
So I started doing that with, like,
you actually
all these...
get to, like, shape what they look like?
Well, yeah. Well,
it's like a little
mini
kind of
MS Paint program.
No. I mean, if you wanted, you could, like, do your race in MS Paint and then upload it. I mean, just
so
put
you
it
can
in the
scan
folder.
In, like, the, like Brian Peppers, a.k.a. the Gurgazoid?
Yeah, pretty much.
Start off with that, and then like,
suddenly he's ready to play.
Digitize it.
Yeah.
Suddenly, nice. Suddenly you have a new gamer who's ready to
suddenly
sign
found, he's found a place and a people he can call
very
home.
Customizable.
Actually, I'm going to create the Gurgazoids for Spore when that's ready.
But I've been making a lot of custom races and stuff, and it's really geeky. So anyway, I should wrap this thing up.
I wrap it up.
By
on
way,
that
I,
note, it's
I'm
been...
getting the fingers from Ryan, so
actually,
I know it must be bad.
Oh, what I love is that you were giving yourself. I thought you were giving yourself the wrap it up signal.
It was weird. It was just habit.
Okay.
It's like, oh, time to end. I better spin my finger.
Final note. Last podcast, I was teasing out about the next cover story. And we never said what it was.
And we never will. Should we tease it out yet?
We're going to say, like, I mean, just the general, like, what
well,
it
wait,
was.
Didn't
like,
you give a hint or something?
And I already did, yeah. It said R was the hint, so Relic was the R, and I put that out. And something involving, at this point now, like, what was I able to say? Something involving Company Heroes, but it's not an expansion. And that's all we can say.
Curiouser and curiouser. Do we reveal a little bit more next week?
You know what? And also, like, I'm finally thinking back on the week, and we had that great thing. We had last week, Darren, was our pledge drive episode.
What?
And we did all this stuff on there. We got a lot of feedback, a bunch of people that were saying why it is that they give feedback to the, because we're kind of like complaining. We're being little crybabies about how we'll spend all month working on an issue and get comparably fewer letters in response to the month's worth of labor than we will from sitting here shooting the shit for an hour or an hour and a half, you know. But so we got all these people that explained why they think, one, don't feel left out because they like the magazine and what they like about it and how it's just different and why they talk about why they like to talk about the podcast and stuff. So
I'm gonna save that for next week.
Yeah, we'll come back to it next week. And we also have a contest that's still going. We'll extend it another
week. There's some good responses to that so far.
Yeah, and so we definitely have some winners to pick. I'll extend it another week.
Man, all this stuff I missed.
Want to explain it again?
What am I saying, man?
It's just basically turn an old CGW or GFW review that is bad into a positive review by editing words out.
Right.
There's a whole thread on the message board about it. Read it.
Through omission only. Yeah.
Yes.
Taking out words.
Putting in ellipses to get rid of words.
Somebody did a good one on Bad Day LA.
That's oh, nice.
There's several good ones. And you can't add words. Some people
can't add words.
So this would be a fun game if you were locked on the short bus for whatever 24 hours.
It's just a fun game.
So let me guess. It's inspired by like the short movie quotes that, like with the
yeah,
dot, dot, dot.
Exactly.
A great movie, dot, dot, dot.
Exactly.
For shooting yourself. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And the ultimate was fun. For any movie
any
with Shaquille O'Neal in it.
Fun.
Fun. So on that note, thanks for joining us this week.
And putting up with us.
And we'll have more to talk about next week. I almost had a nasty burp there to take it out on. And on that note, anyone got a few, you know, noises to make as we cut? Because
woozle
we're
cutting
wazzle.
It. I'm woozle
now.
Wazzle?
No. I'm not good at noises. Sean, I think you'll have to do it.
I'm all out of bodily gases right now. I'm dry. The well's dry. Sorry.
I don't have any. There's the usual. All right.
And on that note,
and we are out.
This has been a presentation of the 1UP Radio Network. For more shows, visit podcast.1up.com.